Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field. We are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we wrap up a supremely, annoyingly disappointing 2025 Packers season and look ahead to an offseason full of questions. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, the ugly. We got the good. We got
Romeo Doubs.
We got the bad. We got
Brandon McManus.
We got the ugly. We got
Matt LaFleur. Sorry, coach, when you're up 21-3 at half and you blow it, that's pretty damn ugly. Pretty damn ugly, Corey Banky. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
How are you doing there, Banky?
I'm annoyed.
You're more annoyed than anything else, aren't you?
I'm highly annoyed.
You're not angry. You're just annoyed.
I'm not angry. No, I'm just annoyed. Everything's annoying. You know?
I mean, the Green Bay Packers were certainly annoying down the stretch this season. I'll give
you that. They've been annoying. Yeah. Like, it hit me in the face when, I don't know, I'm so in it that I guess right. I just was in denial that we lost five in a row. Just like, ugh. I was just in denial about it.
Four doesn't count. You know, that was a preseason game. Like, I didn't care about that. The three in a row was tough. But then you thought, okay, there's a reset. I like it. And for the first half, sure seemed like it was the right call by Matt. But then, you know, speaking of calls, we kept running into a brick wall, and that was the end of that. Of course, well, there's a lot more to it than that, a lot more context.
I blame everything on the assistant coaches at this point. Actually, you know what?
You're riding that justice wave.
You know what? You know whose fault it is?
Who's that?
It's Ed Policy's chief of staff's fault. 100%.
Why do that to the young man? I know you're kidding, but he doesn't know that. The people
it's
watching
fine.
Don't know that.
No, it's his fault. I'm blaming everything on him. You know how I said, hey, what are we next week? We have to come up with three strategies for Cheesehead TV.
Yes,
okay,
for
the next
TV,
next time right. We do Packer transplants, we're going to figure out what are the three reasons the Packers are annoying.
But we're not going to do another Packer transplant until probably draft time.
Well,
maybe they're not
be
annoying
annoyed.
By that.
Time we're still going to be annoyed. No, we're going to be annoyed.
Maybe
when they
maybe not.
When they trade Matt when we find out during this show that they're trading Matt LaFleur to for a draft pick
to the Miami Dolphins. For a first round pick, second round pick, something. Yeah, and that is possible. We are recording this. We are live while the LaFleur's future hangs in the balance. Everyone on tenterhooks waiting for a resolution here after the initial report Monday morning from Adam Schefter that the Packers and LaFleur were open to and wanting to work out some kind of deal. We are sitting here now Wednesday afternoon, 4 o'clock Lambeau time, still waiting for any kind of news on the future of Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. So, again, yeah, we 100% could find out during this show, live, while we're on the air, about whatever the resolution might be. And we will get into all of it. But before we do, got to give a shout-out to our friends over at Nicolet Law. Support for Packer transplants does come from Nicolet Law, a personal injury law firm serving folks across the Midwest. If you've been injured, you need more than just a quick payout from the insurance company. You need someone who will actually fight for what you deserve so you can focus on healing and moving forward. That's what Nicolet Law does. They help protect people. They get the best possible outcome. No upfront fees, no legal jargon, and no big egos. Just local attorneys who have your back when it matters most. To learn more, visit NicoletLaw.com or give them a call at 1-855-NICOLET. I hear you laughing, which means you're reading the chat. It's always, always a dangerous proposition.
Eeyore number one already came up with some things that were annoying him.
Well, I'm
and
sure
also,
he
like,
is.
Yesterday's I mean, yesterday's Patreon was, like, has the Zoom happy hour. It was exhausting. Mm-hmm. I'm just here to tell you it was exhausting.
Dude, what are you talking about? You bowed out. Like, I still went. I wasn't there for two
I was
and a half
almost,
hours, sir.
I was almost 2 hours in, and I was just like,
"You did, you did." I was impressed. I was impressed.
Somebody,
you were there that
I was just waiting for someone to say the exact same thing over and over again, and that's pretty much what I got.
Well, people have their opinions. They got to get them out. You know, that's what it is. I got something for you, Corey. You ready? You ready? Something to make it all better. You ready?
I'm ready.
There you go. Come on now. What more do you need in life? Get yourself a Carry the G. Plenty still available in the state of Wisconsin. Get the they're still on the shelves. Go get some Carry the G. Green and cold from the land. The green and gold. Let's get to the hotness, shall we? Let's talk about something positive. Let's go. I mean, I don't think this is a tough one. There was plenty of scoring. There were plenty of scoring plays, but you got to go with Matthew Golden's touchdown, his first as a NFL player. Golden, the yards after catch, the will to just find the end zone. You absolutely love it. What a phenomenal play from the rookie. Bit annoying that, you know, had to wait to the playoffs to give him the opportunity to do that, but very happy to see it. Very, very hot. Hotness, Corey. One of 100 times in the late part of the game that I thought the Packers had won, it was like, oh, hey, finally. Of course, it lasted like, what, 30 seconds until McManus missed the extra point. That was great. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. That was great. I think if for transplants, you know what we should do? We should have just showed the crash out video. We should have just been like, you know what? Here's the crash out video.
Hey, shout out to whoever the Bears fan is who put the crash out compilation of Packers fans together. We're honored to be included. Thank you.
There's
so much.
There's one person who's not a Packers fan on that crash out video. I'm not trying to gatekeep, but if you call the Packers losers, even if they are, you're not a Packers fan. I'm sorry. So there you go.
It is just weird to find, like, discover
it's
someone.
It's
in a
weird
crash
to
out
be
video.
Like,
I've never heard of someone, and then all of a sudden, it's like they are included in this collection of people who I've all heard of every single one of them, except for this random person who what, who
and who talks.
I don't know, man.
I get like you're angry and you talk stuff, but it's like there's just a lot of fans in sheep's clothing. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of that going around.
Good way to put it. Good way to put
there's
it.
There's a lot
of These times test the mettle of fans, you know? That's the whole point. Like, it is about getting through that anger and disappointment and frustration, which we're certainly all feeling after that game on Saturday, and then coming to grips with it and how you deal with it. I mean, I get it. I get people
there's a lot of
upset.
There's,
I get people
this
being
day
frustrated.
And age, though, there's a lot of fake authenticity, though. It's like everybody's going towards authenticity, and there's just a lot of, like, it's almost like, I don't know.
How
it's
can I generate authenticity?
Yeah, let me make this authentic for you. And it's like,
right. Yep. I feel that. I got you there. All right. Before we get too much, that's later. We'll talk about it during Blogosphere. Let's get to some Packers news, shall we? As we indicated, the Packers and Matt LaFleur are attempting to negotiate a new deal. I know Adam Schefter gave us the latest update earlier this afternoon regarding it is a negotiation, and you know, it takes time, but it seems to be taking a bit longer than probably most people expected it to, which you would have to think has to do with probably two things. I would suspect, yes, A, money, and B, and of course, within that amount of years, stability, etc. But then, yeah, I gotta suspect there's some conversations going on about his staff and potential changes to it that maybe he doesn't want to make. I got to think that's at least on the table.
Well, or he wants more budget for staff.
No, that's possible. Although, you know, as far as I can tell, there's never been an edict or a outline of a budget. Now, there have been certainly ways of operating, but I don't think there is a hard cap on what they're allowed to spend in the coaching market.
But maybe
at least
he's
I've never
asked,
seen any evidence of it.
Maybe he's asked for people, and then they've been like, no, you can't have that person because they're too expensive.
And that's entirely possible. No question.
That's what I kind of
no
talked about is budget.
Right.
But also, like, it's so funny. I don't know. Last night I was laughing because, like, everyone wants this guy. Am I the only person? Are you and I the only people on planet Earth that don't want Matt LaFleur fired?
No. I heard from a lot of people who were 100% in support of the idea of keeping him. So, no, we are not
alone. I feel like, well, maybe it's just the internet is telling me this, but I just
your
feel
algorithm
like...
Your algorithm is cheating you.
Well, it's just funny how, I don't know what it is,
Corey,
but everybody,
just so you
it
know.
Felt like on Happy Hour, if we did a poll on Happy Hour last night, I feel like 99 out of 100 people want Matt LaFleur fired. Okay, 98 out of 100.
I didn't feel that way. There were certainly a lot of people frustrated and upset, and there were certainly some people that want him fired. There's no doubt about that, but I didn't get 99%. Also, by the way, Corey, traditionally, if you read the script, you'll see that there's an opportunity to talk about this later in the program.
I know,
we'll
but I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed right now, okay?
I am aware.
See, the funny thing is last night, mm-hmm. I don't get to be annoyed because when I come off as annoyed, then I start talking shit about our fans, and that's very rude. That's just rude, right? People are paying
it
you.
Is rude.
And I want to scream at them
your
because they're saying stupid shit. And I'm not going to say who is saying the stupid shit. But I want to scream at them. But then I realize these people are paying to be here. So then I'm like, you know what? So then that makes me feel like I'm not able to. So, yeah, I just – it's continuing annoying.
So
I did look at the script,
you're just
going to
take it out on me.
I contributed to this. Truth be told, I did contribute to the script.
You did very much. I know. That's why – that's literally why that bullet point is there, sir. Should we continue?
Packer fans are big mad. They're big mad.
They are big mad.
They need a sacrifice. They need a sacrifice.
Someone who's not big mad is Micah Parsons, who hopes to be ready by week 3 or 4. He even acknowledged that, yes, he would like to be back by week 1, but that is pretty unrealistic, most likely. Although, who knows? We'll see what his rehab consists of and where he lands schedule-wise. I would suspect that, yeah, he's going to start the year on PUP. That would be my guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully, yeah, back after 4. That would put him online to be back after week 4. Here's hoping. Fingers crossed. Another significant development out of the kind of players' locker room kind of clean-out day, Zach Tom spoke with reporters and talked about he may have surgery for a patellar tendon injury that he suffered in Denver. Sounds like they tried everything they could to try and avoid that so he could potentially come back. And we even heard LaFleur last week, I think it was Monday, talking about he expected Zach Tom to play on Saturday night in Chicago. But clearly that didn't materialize, and now he will most likely have surgery. Hopefully, if the timeline works and everything is smooth, knock on wood, he'll be ready to go probably by week 1, but we'll see. And speaking of injuries and comebacks, both Tucker Kraft and Devontae Wyatt expected to be ready for training camp when they spoke with reporters on Monday.
Nice.
So that is encouraging news. I mean, although as I did kind of joke with Billy on Carry the G Radio on Tuesday morning, I mean, you know what it's like when summer rolls around and camp is right around the corner and then suddenly you start getting updates on injured players. It's going to suck trying to keep track of, well, who's this guy's ahead of schedule? Oh, this guy's back. Oh, this guy's not ready. Oh, this guy's going to be like, there's going to be a lot of that heading into camp in late July, early August. I'm not looking forward to it.
No.
Let's talk about the offense because, man, so exciting in the first half. What a performance. And then completely getting overwhelmed, shut down, pick an adjective in the second half. And most of it you can put down to the offensive line. And that has been a theme, or was a theme, throughout 2025, the failures along the offensive line. I don't need to belabor it too much. You all watched it, but it didn't matter if they were trying to pass protect. It didn't matter if they were trying to run block. It was substandard, and that's being kind, throughout mostly the second half, but even at times in the first half. And that is probably the biggest disappointment in my mind as far as 2025 goes. Because, Corey, you and I have talked about it many, many times here on Packer Transplants throughout the season. You're only as good as your offensive line. And the fact that the Packers did score as much as they did this season with the inconsistencies up front is pretty damn impressive. Because, man, it was hard to watch at times, especially in that second half, third quarter in particular, down in Chicago. It was hard. And look, it wasn't just one guy. I know people have been trying to like pinpoint, oh, Rashid Walker had a bad game, which he certainly did. But it wasn't like it was just Rashid Walker. It was everybody. Yeah, I mean, everybody had took a hand in that. So hopefully that's something that's addressed this offseason, Corey, because, man, I can't live through that again. Like, they have been, if the one thing, everything else can be problematic in Green Bay, but what they've been able to hang their hat on year in and year out is high-level offensive line play. And that completely blew up in their face this season.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, there was a stat about pass blocking, and honestly, it was run blocking too. It was just all around.
Oh, they couldn't run
all
the ball
around for every great play, there'd be somebody getting blown up.
Yeah, every time, and that's the other problem is you could never really count on. Oh, it's this guy's probably going to get beat, so I can call a play to try and like you know guard against that. Nope, it could be anybody at any time. It's like walking in a minefield, like not easy, not great. Speaking of calling plays, LaFleur certainly had a bit of a meltdown in the second half. You cannot get away from the fact that he kept trying to run the ball, especially on early downs, and whether it was ineffectiveness up front, whether it was penalties, holding, etc., putting them behind the sticks, it was very hard to watch, and he never seemed to adjust to what the Saints were doing, or Saints, the Bears were doing. I'm thinking of the former Saints defensive head coach, Dennis Allen, who I thought did a great job in the second half, completely taking away everything LaFleur was trying to do. But what was even more frustrating beyond that was when they finally did start to move the ball again and finally found a couple of ways of working and some completions downfield, Jordan Love makes these amazing throws. The throw to on the slot fade to Romeo Dobbs, that Dobbs one hands and brings in big first down, and you think, oh, that's it. That's the game. The very next play, LaFleur is calling an RPO and a handoff. You know, it's like it just kept kind of almost like insanity doing the same thing over and over again. And we talked about it on Watch Party. It was at one point you got to understand, like, it's not working, baby. It ain't happening. Like, you can try anything else. And it felt exactly like the end of the Denver game when suddenly the tide had shifted. Clearly, the Bears were using pressure as a way to try and limit everything you were trying to do. And his response, again, just like in Denver, was to go 2x2, put the back in the backfield, and then try to run the ball. It was maddening. It was absolutely maddening. And then there's, of course, the timeouts, or lack thereof, or using them and then having a fucking delay of game out of a timeout.
Hey.
I mean, look, he used to bristle when I would ask these questions in press conferences. He would kind of get defensive when he would come on here, Packer transplants a couple years ago, and we would joke about the timeout usage. But, man, if it didn't fucking completely burn his team in this game, in a game they had complete control of and then suddenly spiraled out of control, and his timeout usage directly contributed to this loss.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the conversations they're probably maybe having when I talk about a staff, whatever, it's like, possibly whatever your plan is on game day, they always talk about, or he jokes about, like the party line, right? If you're in the headset, he's calling plays. Who has access to you? Like Connor Lewis, supposedly, your eye in the sky, Stenovich. Yep. Who's there to say, Matt, this isn't working? Or Matt, you can't take a timeout here. You know, who is in his ear during the game to give him this kind of information, suggestion, what have you? Because whatever has been occurring, especially in 2025, is not up to standard. It just isn't. And he's got to change something there. I don't know what. I'm not the coach. That's his purview, if he remains. But it's very clear. I mean, you go back to last year in the game they lost to the Bears in Lambeau in Week 18, where they fucked up the end of that. When McManus had an opportunity to win the game, and they fucked that up. Like, at some point, that has to change. Maybe it's Bisaccia, the assistant head coach.
Or going back to the tie, right? The tie game.
The Dallas
game. They almost screwed 100%. The entire overtime up, and it's just game management. Like,
at some point, that has to change. And I got to think, again, maybe that's a conversation Ed Policy is having with Matt LaFleur. I don't think that's out of bounds. You know what I mean? We'll see.
But how, I mean, the thing that confuses me about this whole thing,
right?
Like, I don't understand how you have that conversation. Like, I would love to be a fly in the wall. Like, is it Ed Policy and Russ Ball and Matt, or is it just Ed and Matt?
I would suspect to start it was just Ed and Matt on Monday morning when those reports broke. But now I have to think there are a lot of other voices in the conversation. And they're not in a room, like, banging it out, you know what I mean? Like, banging out the deal in front of each other. Like, they're trading phone calls, probably having talks. Now,
but how do you even,
Matt's
like...
still going to work, so they're still in the building together, but...
It's like, how do you even... I don't know. It's a tough line, right, on a leadership standpoint, because if the president of the Green Bay Packers, you would imagine you don't want to get into the weeds on micromanagey decisions in
of
football.
Of course, right.
Right? But how do you broach those kind of things? Like, is there a conversation about, like, oh, who is in the – like, because anything, in my opinion, almost anything is micromanagey. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, to suggest anything or talk about
– how do you even suggest?
Look around the league, Corey. Corey, look around the league. I mean, the Buccaneers essentially made Bowles fire most of his staff. You know, that is a very ownership kind of driven decision or mandate where, yes, the Packers try to avoid that kind of thing. But also with Ed, here's the thing that, like, people, I guess, kind of maybe dismiss or whatever, but don't think about. But, man, we have no track record to go off of when it comes to Ed and what he wants to do and how he wants to run things, right?
No.
So maybe, like, in the past, we've heard plenty of reporting about Murphy completely stepping away and not meddling and not being involved, which I think is a good thing, right? But who knows with Ed? We don't know. Maybe he wants to get in the weeds.
Well, and he's particularly been holding it close to the vest for a very long time on purpose, right?
Correct.
In a very
correct. Yep. So, you know, it's hard to say with any certainty. I mean,
I don't have as big of a problem with Matt's play calling as other people. I feel like for the most part this season, he did a really good job with play calling. I mean, look no further than the first half of that game. Like, we owned the,
I agree.
It was incredible.
I just
and
wish
I agree,
he'd gone back to his openers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you were,
yeah,
you
we talked
going
about
anywhere.
That last
you
night.
Two,
it's like,
three and outs. Two, yeah, three
what
and
if
outs.
You,
just
what
go
if
back
you
to your
just
openers.
Did that?
They're clearly changing stuff.
Yeah.
Just go back to your openers.
Yeah, like, just what if you did that? What if
me.
The funny thing is I don't think Ben Johnson is smart enough to figure out that that's what they're doing until after the fact. So,
like, I just think it's no doubt that Dennis Allen changed his approach, and their counter there being the Packers and Matt just never met the moment at all, ever, until it was too late.
I mean, and
like,
I mean, I just
so
I go back to when I look back on the beginning of the second half, I just think it's in the beginning, it's less play calling and more people getting beat. Like,
oh yeah, well, because still, again, they start using pressure as a weapon, right? In a way they hadn't been in the first half, and the Packers weren't ready for it.
Exactly.
They, I mean, they put numbers in the box because they knew the Packers were going to try and run the ball, etc. So, yeah, it's frustrating. No doubt. And the biggest complaint I have out of this game, or the biggest frustration, it's like, yeah, it sucks we lost. It sucks that the Bears won and blah, blah, they're on and whatever. But, man, the Packers wasted an all-time performance from Jordan Love. But Jordan Love was fucking outstanding in this game. Like, he was great. Four touchdowns, 300-plus yards, no interceptions. Had the ball in Jaden Reed's hands there to put him in position to try and win it. And then legit throws a ball that should have won the game to Christian Watson. I will hear zero Jordan Love slander after this playoff game. He was
I believe the stat was he's only the third quarterback in NFL history to throw four touchdowns and like 350 yards in a playoff game and lose.
Great. Awesome. We're back to Aaron Rodgers.
Like,
QB doing Superman shit. Can't win a game.
And also, I mean, there was this great quote. I think Ryan got it from Christian Watson. Just,
yeah,
it was incredible. And it just goes to the nature. And I was watching Aaron Rodgers talk about the Seattle game, and he literally was an old presser, And he goes over the eight things that if one of those eight things.
It's so funny. That came up in my algorithm, too. It was on TikTok. Yeah. He was talking to Big Cat back in Lambeau.
That's so funny.
I got it last night.
It's like if one of those eight things, one of eight, and one of them is the onside kick, right? So it's not just the onside kick, which I just thought was very fascinating. I hadn't seen that interview. And it just goes to the NFL, which is like, they weren't Packer QBs.
The margins are thin.
I think they're all time. Hey, Soder, I think I think the stat, it's all time. He's only the third quarterback in NFL history, not Packer history. Yeah, that's crazy.
I just hate it. That just made me so frustrated because Love was outstanding in this game, and already you've got morons online going, "He's a good Jordan Love. Can't seal the deal." Shut up. You just put a neon sign on your neck saying, "I don't know ball."
I would say we're creating a straw man, but I've seen it. I've seen the trash.
I know that's the thing. I'm not creating anything. Like, I've seen it multiple times.
I love how in the chat people are like, "Is there anything Matt LaFleur would do that Corey doesn't like?" It's like, guys, I'm here to tell you right now. Okay? I'm here to tell you.
I just snort.
I might. Like, I was telling my trainer last night, I was, like, laughing because, like, there were, like, 352 comments on the Crash Out video, and one of them was like, what are these dweebs? I'm like, bro, do you think you're the first person in the world to call me a dweeb or a dork? Okay. So, you don't know me, but
I am looking for creativity in the Bears fandom. Trust me on that.
I know, right? As an entrepreneur who actually has, you know, relations with labor – I just think it's just real easy to say fire anyone. When you have a high performer, no matter what you think of them, when you fire any high performer, so say what you want about Matt LaFleur. You can if you actually say Matt LaFleur is not a high performer in the NFL, you are actually fucking crazy. I don't know what you're comparing things to. But you might say, you know what, we got to get rid of this guy. The problem when you get rid of people is you're starting over. And everybody wants to look at the Bears, but, like, I heard you say this. It's like the Bears have spent 20 years of being shit and having draft picks and having a lot of vets on their team.
Where they are, and they still
arrived. Yeah, and they still screwed it up. It's not like Ben Johnson just changed the whole fucking thing. It's like Ben Johnson was a piece that they finally added to two first-round fucking quarterbacks, by the way. Like, come on. Right. Like, I just think the lack of people's perception, it's like, so who are we going to hire? Like, I've seen a lot of people be like, okay, you want Matt LaFleur fired. So who are you replacing Matt LaFleur with?
Who's your best Corey?
Oh, my God. You want to talk
older,
about...
more expensive version of Matt LaFleur.
The defensive version.
He's led the league in blown leads, like multi-score leads, since like the late 90s. Like, come on.
Is he a high performer in the playoffs? Okay, let's talk about the playoffs. Do you think Matt LaFleur was the reason we lost to Tampa Bay? I blame that squarely on Aaron Rodgers and the offense. I'm sorry. And we lost Bakhtiari. Like, I do not blame...
I blame it on losing Bakhtiari and fucking calling a cover one at the end of the first half after dropping an interception, by the way, and then Kevin King looking in the backfield rather than understanding the...
True, but our offense did not show up in that game. Like, our offense was like... Oh, hi. No, we're not going to show up
today. You know who did? MVS. MVS showed up in that game. Anyway, let's talk about the defense, shall we? Because Jeff Hafley's interviewing. He interviewed with the Miami Dolphins today for their head coaching job, saying hello to John Eric Sullivan.
Maybe we're interviewing Hafley for the head coaching job. Maybe that's what the delay is.
Ooh. Controversy. Maybe. Maybe.
What if the deal is Hafley as the head coach and Matt LaFleur as the OC?
Ain't never gonna happen. Let's come back from La La Land.
I know.
This is not gonna
That would be crazy though. That would be crazy.
Speaking of lands, Hafley was caught in no man's land on Saturday because, I mean, as that game wore on, I mean, he did everything he could and the defense clearly wore down, and once Cooper got hurt, it was over, and that's, you know, blending these two bullet points together, but it was tough because, you know, he couldn't get home with four. He did on the very rare occasion. But when he tried to send pressure, and we saw this numerous times, you know, their corners couldn't hold up. they couldn't hold up. Quay Walker couldn't hold up against Loveland. No one really could. Loveland absolutely dominated them in the stretch there in the second half. So
yeah, he did.
You know, it's hard. I see people like going after Halfley because of the fourth quarter, but at that point, man, that game should have been salted away. Like, I understand you want a stop every single time the defense is on the field, but the defense did more than enough through the first, like, say, three quarters of that game. If the offense gets its head out of its ass in any way, shape, or form, again, complimentary football. We talk about it all the time. And the lack of it in the second half from the Packers is what doomed them. And yes, Halfley is certainly a part of that. But again, he's only able to work with what he's got on hand. And once, yep. You know, you don't have Micah Parsons, you don't have Devontae Wyatt, you lose Edgerrin Cooper, man, you're sitting there and you've got a really tough assignment. So I get it's frustrating, but I have a real hard time like saying Halfley cost them the game. Like I get the score and all of it, but man, he's working with what he's got. And then,
I don't know. It's so funny when you watch like the Texans defense and you're like, look, they actually like catch it. They let them catch it and then they tackle them right there and they
blow
get nothing.
The fucker up. Yeah.
Or also the middle of the field is contested. What is that like? That's interesting.
Contested in the middle of the field?
Like so everything. I mean, to be fair, week one and week two, it felt like the Packers.
That's what we looked like.
Cornerbacks. Like. Yeah, it looked like we had a defense.
But then that's what happens when people get tape. This is the thing. Like I run into this all the time online playing Madden, and I know everyone will laugh and roll their eyes, but it's 1,000,000,000% true. If a guy has a really good way of working, right, when you're playing Madden online, you don't have tape. You have no idea how he's going to approach the game. But once you get an idea, if he's unable to adjust, it's over. Like, I know what you're doing, so, okay, I'll adjust, and I know how to take away what you're trying to do, and it's done. Yeah. But in the NFL, you know, Halfley comes out those first 2 weeks, and it's, oh, damn, they got a defense. But then teams adjust. We certainly saw that in Dallas. That's week four. That's 4 weeks into the season.
Yep.
They were like, okay, Dak, 3 seconds, the ball's got to be out. Like, you're not allowed to hold the football. Like, you've got to get rid of it. And they were really successful with it. And from that moment on, the rest of the league was like, oh, we run the ball and we play short game. And or if they try to come up and press, we convert to like a fly route or whatever.
Yep.
Like, teams watch. Teams learn. Teams adjust. And then,
well,
you
and
lose
it is really sad.
It
is really sad that we never developed our own counter, like our for the offense, right? We didn't really, a lot of people last night were talking about, I know I'm talking about offense again, but a lot of people were talking about we didn't have an identity. We had an identity. We ran inside zone and outside. We ran that 80%
of
the time.
Zone.
Like, literally, if you look at the Dusty Evely, the Packers data suite, it's like almost all of that, you know? And then there's, like, five or six passing concepts that we did, like, 40 times. And then it's a smattering of other things. But we really didn't really lean into any shorter intermediate game. And I just – I wonder
the
if that's –
the lack of a short game killed them all year.
I just wonder, where does that come from? Because I don't know that – I don't know that we've ever – is that an Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur offense holdover? Like we talk about the hero ball. Well, I just bring that up because like you watch Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers and he didn't have a shorter intermediate game and he was stubborn against having one the entire game and it cost him the game.
Wait, whoa. The Steelers tried early in the game, but – the Texans were all over it. Like, they had nothing underneath.
Yeah, but the thing about the short and intermediate game, though, back to Dak Prescott, is you have to be disciplined. You can't go back to hero ball. You just got to go under 3 seconds, under 3 seconds, under three seconds. And that's the that's the kill. That's the kill shot. The kill shot is the discipline of the thing. It's not just like, let's try this one time. It's like, no.
What was interesting, and to your point, or to your question about is that a – Rodgers LaFleur thing. I think it's a LaFleur thing, and I think he got caught the same way Sean McVay got caught in the Super Bowl against Belichick back in the day. I mean, people forget now McVay's won a Super Bowl, but he lost the first time he was in a Super Bowl because, I mean, they absolutely had no short game. Like, everything that they were trying to do downfield in that game, Belichick completely took away. and they had nothing to turn to. And that's exactly what it felt like this year with LaFleur. It's like when things were working down the field, it was great, but A, couldn't protect up front, and B, when teams took that away, and it, like the Panthers, perfect example, you know, you have to go horizontal. You have to try Panthers and do the short the game, Browns. But they aren't good at it. They're not good at it. So that's certainly, you would think, something that LaFleur will be looking at this offseason. No question about it.
Well, and he'll probably have, I mean, you know, I think fans want blood. We want a sacrificial lamb. You know what I'm saying? And
Packers fans are demanding a sacrifice. There is little doubt. There is a little doubt.
A sacrifice must be made. Okay. I think Ed Policy understands this. I personally think it's going to be Bisaccia, Stenovich, and the new DC is inevitable, so we don't have to have a sacrifice there.
Right.
But I don't see if they don't offer up Bisaccia as the sacrifice. I don't know how Packer Nation's going to take that.
I will say this. I do think certainly, again, part of this negotiation is probably, can we suggest to Rich that it's time to retire? Like, I do think that's something that could potentially be talked about, right? And I think that's undoubtedly in the kind of realm of possibility. When it comes to the offensive staff, I do not doubt for a moment that Butkus is probably going to be your sacrificial lamb. It would be my guess. I haven't heard anything. I don't know anything, but that would be my guess. I will be very surprised. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not saying it'll never happen, but I'll be very surprised if Steno is gone or made to kind of fall on his sword. Like, Steno is one of Matt's first hires. He's still on staff, and he's a good coach. I get that people are frustrated with some of the offensive aspects, but again, no one knows what he does on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
They just get frustrated.
I'm not saying I personally want him. I'm just saying,
I get that suggestion.
If the sacrificial lamb idea is going anywhere,
right,
you need a good sacrifice. You can't just be like, here's Butkus. No one cares.
You know what I mean? I think the nerds will care, but
no, I think the nerds care, but that's not gonna be like they sacrificed Bisaccia. Hail the Packers! You know what I'm saying? Like they're not gonna do
something
that.
Right.
They did it. They did something.
They fired the right guy.
You're 100% correct. But at the same time, now look, Corey, you say all this, but at the same time, it's like, should fucking Policy be going by fan sentiment? No.
No, of course not.
If he did,
Matt LaFleur would be fired. LaFleur would already be fired, by the way. Look at our poll.
He'd be taking the Greyhound back from Chicago.
Look, there's 400 people on the stream, and look at our poll I had them do. It's already 70% of the people watching this show want Matt LaFleur fired.
Yeah, but most of that is Bears fans. Come on, we know that. You know, after the crash out video, they all want to come in to, like, rub salt in the wound. I know what's up. I ain't falling for that.
Do you want 70% want him as head coach. Sorry, Nicholas, our producer threw me off. Golly.
Don't blame the producer, Corey.
It's all, come it's on 100% now. That's
like,
producer's
that's
fault.
Like blaming the players for your bad play call. Come on now.
That was execution. It was not head coaching. Okay.
So good. Oh, okay. I know we got to get to Blogosphere, but real quick, I want to get your take. Corey Banky, we do this every year, and I love it. It's one of my favorite moments of Packer transplants each and every season. Pending free agents for the Green Bay Packers, are they back or no? Starting with Rashid Walker.
No.
Then Quay Walker.
Yes.
Ooh. See, I 6 months ago, I would have said, 100%. Now, I won't be surprised if he's gone. But we'll see. We'll see.
I don't know what the cost ramifications are, but yeah. Sean Ryan, yes. Yeah. I think gone. Sean Ryan did yes. his – no, I think he's – if they can afford him, I think he proved himself. I remember when he went in at center, and I was like, oof.
Right.
And then he did a fair –
Yeah, I agree. He did.
But you're right. He's on like the end of his. I couldn't believe LVN is already on fifth year option. I'm like, where did life go?
Just what happens, brother. Time marches on. Romeo Doubs.
No, he's gone.
Yeah, I agree. And I love Romeo. Phenomenal last game in green and gold. Salute. But yeah, he's gone. Kingsley Enagbare.
He's probably gone.
I agree. John Fitzpatrick, the tight end.
No one cares. No one cares.
I think he's back. And then finally,
he's probably
Malik
back
Willis.
Because no one cares. Malik Willis is going to get paid, so he's not going to be at the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to get $40 million, but he's going to get serious dollars because he's better than
big
like
money.
He's better than the
just,
bottom
I just
10
can't handle
quarterbacks
it.
In the NFL.
Look. The only way I can handle it, and I've seen people throw this out there about, oh, look, Minnesota signs. Like, okay, let's not, like, make me want to jump off a bridge. But I can handle Malik Willis going to Minnesota if the Packers then turn around and hire Brian Flores as their defensive coordinator because Jeff Hathaway.
What if Brian Flores was the head coach?
Can we just get through like today without Matt LaFleur being fired?
What if
please?
We
like,
what if we at. Trade LaFleur for a first round draft pick and announce that we've hired Brian Flores as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
I don't know. I don't. I'll.
At this point, I'm not putting it like.
It.
You know how like this is the thing about this is the thing.
Impossible.
This here's the thing.
Unlikely, but not impossible.
I know 1265. Right. Until I have no fucking idea. Like, what I'm trying to say in that is that 1265 right. follows a script like 99.970% of the time.
Percent of the time, right.
But when they don't, they shock you.
All bets are off. Exactly. Okay, real quickly, I also have
you would like that, by the way. You would be into it. You would be into that.
I would be into Flores being the head coach, but not at the expense of Matt. So
for a first-round draft pick?
What? So we can get another what? Look, come on. Like, I'm sorry. I was told Brian Gutekunst can't draft in the first round. Is that what we want?
Well, if we had a good – doesn't Miami have a good one?
Yeah, probably, but so?
Yeah, so we could actually get like a corner or a linebacker or a defensive tackle or a tight end. We could get a first round tight end. That would be cool.
I don't want a tight end in the first round. Okay, can we leave the draft talk to Newt? All right, we don't.
That'd be nice.
Have to talk about that. Come on now.
There's got to be some good corners. We need a good corner.
Now you're cooking with gas. Now you got it. Okay, real quick, potential cap casualties, Corey. Are they back or are they gone? Rashawn Gary.
Bye bye.
Keyshawn Nixon.
Bye-bye.
I want to say bye-bye, but I think he's back. Aaron Banks.
Yeah, they got to keep him, right?
Yeah, probably. And I hate it, but probably.
The problem is also, wait, if they get rid of Aaron Banks, they got dead money and stuff too, right? It's not just like a cut clean.
Well, there's dead
all
money
these are
regardless.
Not
all these guys, if and when you cut them, yeah, 100%, you have cap issues, dead money to deal with, 100%.
Got it.
And then there's Elgton Jenkins. I think he's gone. He gone.
Yeah.
He gone. And then finally, this is the craziest one to me, but Josh Jacobs has been bandied about as a potential
I don't understand that. Why? Why would you do that?
Well, because they need space. I mean, I think, you know, they signed him and it became kind of their identity on offense. And I understand he was in and out a lot because of injury, but I would be very surprised at that one. But again, it's been suggested. So just wanted to get your reaction. Your reaction
but
was
so,
pretty close to mine.
So you do what? So you hire another
I know. Well,
running back?
You, well, here's the thing. You're not you wrong, but Billy did point this out on radio, and he's not wrong in the sense that, okay, yes, it feels dramatic, right? But we literally let Aaron Jones go, and everybody was like, oh, my God. But they had Josh Jacobs in free agency. So it's like there are plenty of – talented backs set to hit free agency this spring.
Oh, I'm not saying and we couldn't get anybody.
They could probably
but I think,
make that change if they wanted to.
But
you know?
Josh Jacobs, he's one of the best running backs in the NFL.
I agree. I very much agree. And you have to pay for talent, right? Like, yeah. I agree. But
and he didn't prove, we'll like, this is a guy that fucking Bisaccia couldn't, like, he had to go to the head coach to convince him that he could run back kickoffs. Like, that's the kind of guy you want on your team. Like, of all the guys you want on your team, that's a guy.
Totally
like,
I totally agree.
I don't know. I mean,
it's do or die,
he's the
playoff time. Let me have the ball. Yeah.
He's the opposite of Nixon or Gary or he's literally the opposite. Like the fact that Rashawn Gary could have the interview he had after that game and not take anything on himself and not explain why he had such a shit year. It's just like, what dude? Like, just tell us something. Tell us that.
Think about
like,
this, Corey.
I don't know.
The Rashawn Gary thing is wild to me because, like, we all know, like, the Micah thing and, okay, so now you're the compliment, and he's sitting at 7.5 sacks. 7.5 sacks in October, right?
Which was tied for what he had last year.
Yeah, he's never in his career had double-digit sacks, ever, ever. Now, of course, yes, he suffered that ACL injury when he was pretty much on his way to doing so. But never had double-digit sacks. In October, you're sitting at 7.5. And then you don't have another one for the remainder
of the season. What? That's crazy. But also, like, there's like four plays at least I can think of in my mind where it's like, bro, why are you jogging right now?
Why are you jogging? Well, you used to
everyone
be the high energy
is,
guy.
You
used to be the high
motor
guy.
Watching you. like the play is still happening.
Rashawn, this is being recorded. This is on tape. Rashawn, this is on tape.
My Lord.
People are watching.
Like, it's just wild to me, man. I agree. I couldn't agree more. And look, we've long loved Rashawn on this program, but the tape is there. The eye.
Well, because he always had the energy and the high. He had the effort, right?
Always.
It's like, I'm never going to, like, even Keyshawn, right? The time I soured on Keyshawn is not him making mistakes. And yeah, he made penalty mistakes. It's when you feel like you stop being the high effort culture guy.
Yep.
That's why I don't want to get rid of Josh Jacobs. That's why I think Michael Parsons is such a gift. That's why I never gave up on LVN because I don't see LVN.
Right.
Like, I watched Rashawn Gary give up on effort for the first time in his career, and I'm like, what is happening right now?
The fuck
it's
is
so
that?
Weird.
I agree. Couldn't agree more. We got a lot more about the game and about the offseason, everything in the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter. Make sure you're checking that out. It goes out tomorrow morning and each and every week throughout the offseason. Tons of Cheesehead TV content delivered to your inbox each and every week. Corey, you ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer blogosphere. The return of that venerable series brought to you by Luigi's Pizza. Luigi's is a Wisconsin-born pizza brand made by local pizza enthusiasts with local cheeses and a flavor that stood the test of time since 1968. Across all their lines, they focus on real Wisconsin cheese, crisp crusts, and easy oven prep, making every pizza night a little simpler and a lot tastier. Check out their mighty meaty pizza, Wisconsin mozzarella, Italian sausage, ham, pepperoni, and bacon crumbles. I may have to switch up dinner tonight now after I read that. We were going to a Greek taverna, but I think I have to get pizza now.
Do we get anything if Halfley goes somewhere? No, right? Because it's upgrading?
No. Absolutely not.
That's annoying.
It is what it is. It's life in the NFL, baby. Okay. Blogosphere. Starting off with a real easy, straightforward one. Anybody who's been on TikTok has heard this audio before. It is perfect. Let's roll it.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part.
I didn't do fucking shit.
I mean,
you didn't ask me if McManus is back. That was on your list. Oh, no, it wasn't on your
list.
He's
not a cap casualty, and he's not a free agent.
Let's cut
There's
his
no
ass
cap
anyway.
Reason to.
Hold on, I'm
making a call.
I don't enjoy him.
No, Brian. Hi. Yeah, no. Corey says cut his ass. All right. Sounds good.
Thanks.
Thanks.
What?
Oh, man.
Let's just get rid of him. Like, golly, Moses.
He sucks. Elsewhere he sucks. In the blogosphere, Packers or otherwise, Barstool, Good Morning Barstool, tackled this subject. Let's take a look at what they had to say.
What do you do if you're Green Bay with this guy?
I think you do nothing. I think the notion that Matt LaFleur's job is potentially in jeopardy is a bit ridiculous. Packers fans have every right to be disappointed, frustrated, mad. They certainly need to figure out why they can't close some of these games out. But the notion that they're going to upgrade this coaching cycle from Matt LaFleur, I think is nonsense.
There's no way I would let LaFleur out of the building. I mean, unless anybody has a better candidate. And there's no better candidate. The guy's done a great job transitioning from Aaron Rodgers to Love. Love played great. They got to run the football. They can't run the ball with a 21-3 lead. The clock is the enemy. They got nothing going on the ground. We all know they're missing some of their best players. Kraft at tight end, Micah Parsons. They brought in Nate Hobbs to be a corner. They gave him $40 million. He never played. I just think Green Bay has to stay the course. They're going to have to handle the noise. And they got to find a way to run the football more consistently. But you got to give Chicago credit. I'll go back to this, Dave. The Packers lost that game on a stupid high school play. They fake a bubble screen over there, and guys take off and run down the field, and DJ Moore wins the game. They got to play better football at crunch time. I think some of these Packer players got to look themselves in the eye. You know, when you get a lead like that, your defense needs to slam the door shut, and this vaunted Packer defense did not come through.
That's all I know. 100% correct. Well said, Coach. Elsewhere on the internet, Dave Damachek and Jeff Schwartz chimed in. Let's take a listen.
I don't get the LaFleur should lose his job, despite the debacle that the fourth quarter was in Chicago.
Are the Packers ever going to scale up is the question. My answer is probably no, and that's not really his fault. Give me one thing about their offense that scares you.
Jordan Love is good. They're loaded with pass catchers. Josh Jacobs is pretty nice. And if Micah Parsons is out there, they win that game and remain the favorite to go to the Super Bowl. You've built your defense around that one guy largely, and he went out, and that was that.
Dave making all the sense in the world.
One guy that scares me that's going to scare the entire fucking NFL next year is Jordan Love. So suck it, whatever. That guy's an idiot.
No. Jeff.
Name
is
one.
Jeff is,
not
Jeff's
Dave,
good.
The other guy. Name one no, guy that Jeff scares you. No, fuck that guy.
With the draft.
Yeah, I'll name
up,
one guy. I just named one
pick.
Guy. Well, I'm going to go
you
on their show
name
and
one
I'm going to be like.
No doubt about it. The draft's coming up, people. But it's going to be here before you know it. Corey will probably ignore it. But there will be a draft. Make sure you're checking out all of Newt Weston's content here on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. He did just drop his first mock draft this past Monday. And every Monday until the draft, Mock Draft Monday, coming your way. Tons of other great draft content. Look, he's been churning it out, man. We've got Shrine Bowl coverage. We got Senior Bowl coverage. We got scouting reports for tons of different players. Make sure you're subscribed to check it all out as we head into draft season. Finally, Corey, I know you were very interested in the article by Justice Mosqueda over at Acme Packing Company regarding the assistant coaches and the practice of maybe going cheap in that area and not bringing in tons of guys with experience. You heard us mention it earlier in the show. There is a link in the description of this video for you to check it out. I highly encourage you to do so. I did have an extended conversation with Justice on this subject here on our YouTube channel. Make sure you check that out. The title is, Are the Packers Too Cheap to Pay Matt LaFleur? Do not miss that.
It's a great article.
What do you
I liked it.
It is a great article. Very
I haven't been following that, and now I will be. And I do think at some point, like Ed and Coach should be asked about it when their availability.
I do too. I 100% do. And I'm glad you brought up Ed because this is my kind of overall, and I did kind of talk about this with Justice a little bit, but the idea of how the Packers operate, right? Justice wants to frame it as this has been going on since Ron came on board the last 30 plus years. Certainly there have been rhythms and things that have happened throughout that kind of time frame, right? But I will also say, you know, Ed Policy is not Mark Murphy. And I will be very interested to see what changes occur that are both blatant and obvious and subtle. And I do think this is an area where Ed can probably change things. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how he operates. Like you said earlier, we'll see how
I don't disagree with that. And I do think, I do know that everything I've seen so far, it seems that they're data-driven more so than, you know, I think in the past with some leadership where it's more subjective and more and less objective data driven. So, you know, the NFL is becoming more data driven, and I do think that helps us
exponentially.
Like,
so,
right. Cause it's like, we can't, this is something I used to say when we'd argue about cheerleaders. Right. And I'm so glad we don't have cheerleaders. Right. But we would argue about this. And my whole argument was we need to be the best at the thing. It doesn't matter what the thing is. Like if there's a thing, okay, well, we either need to be the best or get paid the best, right? Look, we don't have the best brats, but we get paid the most by the most biggest brat sponsor, right? Not we. When I say we, I mean the Packers, right?
The Packers.
Because Johnsonville brats are trash, let's be real, right? But they pay a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, we got the monies or we get the best. So it's like monies, the best, that's what we need to be. And if we're 32nd in experience by our assistant coaches, I don't think that's the best.
Well, I don't know if it was 32nd. It was dead last in playoff teams. I would be interested to see throughout the NFL. But in Justice's piece, he only looked at playoff teams. And certainly the Packers were dead last.
It felt like it was low.
Not a great look.
It was like like 27 years. I think Seattle was like 100 and something years of experience, and we were like 27 years.
Here's my thing. Okay, and I'm glad, we're talking about it. And we talked about it a little bit before the show started, but my thing is, like, there's some context here, right? Like, I get it. When you read that, oh, the assistant offensive line coach or whoever turned into whatever other coach at another position. You want good coaches, and it doesn't matter where they come from. Like, I get you want experience. You want, especially in a draft and develop program, you want guys who have been there, done that, have pelts on the wall to bring along your young team. Totally understand that. But I also remember people freaking out when Edgar Bennett, who obviously was a phenomenal running back in the NFL, Super Bowl champion, and became a running back's coach his first kind of 4 years in coaching, and then he became a wide receiver's coach, and everyone lost their minds. What? How? How could this work? And he was a phenomenal wide receiver's coach. You know, just because you have a background in a certain area doesn't mean you can't become a really good coach for something else, some other position, right?
100%.
Now, with that said, again, I do understand the idea that there are plenty of other staffs, plenty of other organizations that are paying top money, paying, you know, the best of the best to come and work with them. I totally understand that. And again, I am going to watch with some fascination as to how they operate now that Ed is in charge instead of Mark. That's where I'm at.
Well, and I agree with everything you said. It just, you can't, no matter what, the data can't show you that you have the least experience, right? Because, like,
right. No, I hear that.
You're talking about an individual coach, and I totally get that, right? But at the same time, like, if you look
at
the Texans, like,
that, like, one piece of,
like, how do you, I guess the two things that really hit home for me were watching the Texans defense and the way that each positions play.
You
can tell the positions have, and so, but then you put that with the Packers, and I think a lot of where I do think a lot of the frustration, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's the same thing happened. Well, guess what? Anytime anybody makes it to the playoffs and you don't make it to Super Bowl, the same thing happens to every winning program. It's a disappointment, right?
100%.
So I think it's a generalization to be like, this is what happens every time. Actually, no, it's way more nuanced than that, and stop being a fucking immature idiot. Okay, so there's that on the side, right? But then I do think a lot of what people, and I know for myself, it's like it feels like the small positional mistakes get made so many times the 111th doesn't happen. And so where is that? Is that coaching? Is that training? Is that, what is that? You know what I mean? And like, you can't put that on Halfley to just call the thing. It's back to you talking about Matt calling a tight game. It's like, why are we not looking at the reality of our team, why are we saying, you know what, I'm going to call this really lengthy, complex play call that's not going to get in for 20 seconds, and then you're going to spend another 10 seconds trying to figure out what – it's like, wait a second, like – I think that's coaching. That's the maturity and the experience 100%. Of your coaching, right? And I definitely think that it's something. There's something there. There might not be where there's smoke, there's fire in Justice's fire. Article.
Right.
That's yeah, all
there,
I have to say
I agree.
That.
No, but and your connection with the Texans is spot on because I don't know if you follow Seth Payne, who does I think radio and media down in Houston. But he used to play for the Texans, right? And a defensive lineman knows defensive football. And he point blank said, because they kept talking about on the broadcast against the Steelers about, oh, it's so simplistic. Like they do, it's a very simple defense, which of course nothing in the NFL is really simple. But,
no.
You know, it's pretty straightforward. And Seth made the point, and he's 100% spot on. And J.J. Watt retweeted it and was like, oh, 1,000,000,000% spot on. He's like, I guarantee, Seth said, I guarantee you all of these position coaches are amazing. They're phenomenal position coaches. And that allows the Texans to be streamlined, to keep things relatively simple, because there are a ton of pretenders in the NFL when it comes to position coaches. None of them reside in Houston. And it's like, I remember having this conversation with people at the Combine years ago, Matt being one of them, talking about, oh, it's so hard to find coaches, like identifying and hiring good coaches. It's a very, very, very difficult task. And it does come down to, okay, if those results aren't there, at some point, do you not have to acknowledge it? Do you not have to try to operate in a different way? That's where I'm like, I hope Justice's piece brings some illumination. You know, I remember joking with Greg Bedard back in the day, you know, the whole point of covering a team, if you are drilling down as a journalist, is to affect change, positive change, hopefully. And certainly that's what I would hope Justice's piece is at least ignited. Like, in really his coverage of the last couple articles that he's written about it, which led to our conversation, you know, that's the hope. We'll see.
We'll see. 1265 moves with the inertia of a snail. So,
well, yes.
Until they don't. Until that one moment they don't.
we'll see. One other thing I wanted to get to before we get to the YouTube comments, of which I know there are many. Corey, your text to me the other night, like I was fascinated by this. Like you, and I think you talked a little bit about it on Happy Hour last night, but it was so funny how Ben Johnson going off on the Packers and saying F the Packers and them and all this stuff, and then doubling down in his press conference the next day, you were like back as far as your Bears hatred, which had been dormant. You were.
I never really
to your
had
own
it.
Admission. I'm not putting words. I'm not putting words in your mouth. You're
no,
like,
I
the
never
Vikings
really had.
You hated,
I never
the
really
Cowboys
had it.
You hated, but you didn't hate the Bears, and now you
the
do.
The Bears have. Well, I think there's something for – I think, you know, you're not that – you're a little bit older than me, but like, I do think mm-hmm. you even brought it up about, like, you were young enough to remember, like, a little bit of the 80s
oh,
Bears, right?
The 85
and
stuff.
Like,
oh, dude.
Yeah, and 85 yes. I kind of remember, but I was, you know, what, 9? You know, so it's like I didn't really right. get the hatred at the time, and I didn't really – so for me, and I think a lot of people
they've
in
always been kind of an
20s and 30s, for... right? Yeah, it's right. like, well, the yeah. Bears are adorable. I've always just been like, the Bears are adorable. I think it's funny that the third right. largest city in the country can't beat the smallest – the 300 city,
market,
the 300th
right.
largest market in the country or right. 300th right. largest city in the country. I think that's adorable,
yep.
and I think that's funny. And so – I don't think, you know, it's funny because I don't really think it was until I do think Ben Johnson was classless for saying F you. And people would be like, well, you said F you. They like sent all these things in Twitter. And it's like, bro, I am mm-hmm. not the coach of an NFL team. I just think
I'm
from
literally a fan.
Like, I'm literally what? A fan. I'm literally. Yeah, it's like the conflating that goes on. It's so funny. As soon yeah. as a post yeah. on Twitter reaches a million impressions, one, mm-hmm. people will come to the post like 7 days later and think they got you.
Those are my favorite. Those are my That's my favorite. That's,
and then the other thing is the conflation that goes on. It's like, okay, read the words. You're talking about something. And it's so funny. Now, do I see how people are like, it's a rivalry. It's a thing. And they should. Yeah, I understand that. And I also, I love the other thing of people are like, oh, you know, they throw F-bombs in the locker room. Really? I throw F-bombs on this fucking show, you fucking morons. I'm not talking about the word fuck. I'm talking about the classlessness that it takes to be that, like, just, it's just classless from a head coach. From a head coach.
Right.
Whatever. That's my opinion. People can have a different opinion. That's fine. But fuck the Bears. Like, the Bears are, the Bears are the worst. The Bears, like, I just think that the Bears rivalry snuck up on a lot of certain generation Packer fans this year in a way that I don't think a lot of us, and I'm speaking for myself and I'm not speaking for my entire generation, because it's just when you were grown up, right? It's like the whole thing of like people saying, okay, well, what's the worst game you ever been to? For me, it's 2007. I was into 2014 as well, but 2007, a lot of people that I know that follow us, they weren't either alive or 2007 wasn't a big deal for them, right? So, you know, whatever, like, I get that, but it's like, I do think that the Vikings were always, like, the better team, the better rival.
Well, and they have been, yeah, no doubt.
They have been better rival, and I always cared more. I hated the Cowboys so much in the 90s. I hated the Cowboys worth it. Because, like, we played the Bears and we beat them. Like, by the way, we should be showing a graphic right now. In our lifetime, we have beaten the Bears all time. We in 30 years, we went from...
Oh, forget our lifetime, just overall, in the existence of the franchises. That's just facts. You know?
But, like, in our lifetime, we watched that happen. We watched this rise of the Green Bay Packers and the downfall of the Chicago Bears in a lot of ways. Now, what's crazy about the Bears, and I'm going to say this, and I can't wait to clip this, the Bears are the most fraudulent team. They are the most fraudulent two seed in the NFL playoffs right now, and they're about to get their ass handed to them on Sunday. Nee, 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 nee. Have fun with that.
I mean, oh well, we're hoping Stafford and Davante Adams do us a solid. No question about it. I will say I loved, and I'm emphasizing, italicizing, underlining Ben Johnson saying "fuck the Packers." That was like heroin. That was amazing. I loved it. I loved it because it's like the rivalry's back on. It's been so horrible for so long. It's like, all right, awesome. We got someone who's ready to, like, kind of embrace it. And I will admit, like, I was kind of disappointed with LaFleur when he was hired, and he punted on it, you know? At least, like, back in the day, McCarthy would say the joke about let's go bomb Chicago when he was getting on that bomber, you know, when he had the aviators. You know, he was like, let's go bomb Chicago as a joke. But at least he acknowledges, you know, the importance of the rivalry. Matt's always been like, oh, it's another NFC North team. Well, guess what? Now they have a coach who hates you and who clearly relishes beating your ass. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, I definitely think in the last 5 days, I definitely think that the rivalry is 100% good for the NFL, and I'm looking forward to next year when we beat them twice and they don't make the playoffs.
There you go. Now, and that's it. That's 100% it. Although I will say, I can't take credit for this because I think it was Armin when we were on Carry the G Radio, because I did say in my tweet where I was like, I love this. I love that not only does Ben Johnson acknowledge, oh, it needs to be a rivalry and that he hates that team, et cetera, all of that. But then he says, you know, I've talked with George McCaskey, the owner, one of the owners of the Bears, about this, and he's on board. Like, blah, blah, blah. And then Armin was like, yeah, real tough. He had to check with his dad. Like, I just love that image. Like, my dad said it was okay, so I'm gonna
my dad says
how
it was okay
his
to
team
drop the
because
F-bomb.
Of course McCaskey loves it because of they've been complete futility for decades. So congratulations, little brother, you won one. See
you did
year.
It well very and exciting. And that's the other flip side. I think that back to like us not thinking it was a rivalry for a long time, I guess sometimes when you're on the other side of, like, you're the bully. Like, if the Packers are the bully of Bears, like we have been.
We were.
Sometimes you don't realize, like, so much of my the comments were like, well, where were you? Like, there was this, like, Bear. It's always Bears fucking radio idiots, too, by the way. This Bears radio guy was like, what did you say when Aaron Rodgers said we fucking own you? I'm like, okay, he's not the head coach. He's a quarterback, by the way. And I loved it.
And, by the way, in the game.
Yeah, you don't realize the trauma that has been, like,
big time.
Forced upon Bears fans, which I don't feel bad about, but that's erupted, right? Like, we have we have these last three comeback, one we win and two we lose, have released, unleashed this trauma eruption, and so I guess I wasn't ready for that.
Yep, and now it's here, and I'm excited about it. All right,
and there's white smoke coming up from Lambeau right now. They must have picked the coach.
Does that mean Matt LaFleur is back? Okay, we got plenty of comments to get to. Let's get to them.
Well, first off, we got Walter Williams. Welcome to the Carry the G Club.
Thanks for the support. That. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it. And we got Nash Jack. Is it possible to just hire Harbaugh as a special teams coordinator? Maybe Mosqueda. You two are the best duo on the internet. Please never change.
Oh, really appreciate that. Thank you so much. I think Justice becoming a coach is way more probable than Harbaugh coming to Green Bay.
To do special teams.
To do anything. But yes, especially just downgrading to becoming a special teams coordinator after being a head coach for 100 years.
Yeah, 17 years, yeah. Amy Gooding, I wonder if that guy in the bar is still wearing his McManus jersey. I'm still not okay, by the way. Fuck. I wonder if that guy, if anyone ever told him, like, do you realize that the back of your back was seen by 16 million people on Twitter? Like, did anybody ever tell him, hey, bro, you could have gotten McManus tickets? I wonder if he's just, living his life. He's just like, he's living his life somewhere.
He's probably at that bar right now. We don't even
know. He's at Fox Harbor right now. He's like, damn you, McManus. Let's cut his ass.
Cursing him out.
Joe Mailman. Yeah. Seven stages of grief are shock, denial, anger, bargaining, guilt, depression, acceptance. Where are you? Random Packer, Lucas Haversick. I'm in annoyance. That's where I am. I'm in annoyance.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in acceptance. Let's go. Let's get to the offseason. Let's rebuild and let's reload and let's go kick some ass. That's where I'm at.
I've annoyingly accepted. How about that? Neil Flynn, trade offer. Dallas gets Matt LaFleur and Brandon McManus. Green Bay gets Kenny Clark, two first-round picks, and a carton of cigarettes.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
Press send on the trade. Let's do it.
Sim Giles, from Ireland. Has there been this much uncertainty since a certain Dark Room episode? Hope it gets clarified in a couple, 2-3 hours. Thanks for everything. Thank you.
It feels like the inflection point with Rodgers is the last time we were here, right? As far as uncertainty at the top, no doubt.
Doug Hype TV, only care about negotiating more Carry the G. There's more to be had.
Fair point.
There's
plenty more.
It's available. It's available.
Available throughout Wisconsin.
And thanks for two of those, but you said the same thing. But thank you for two Super Chats. Appreciate it, Doug. Aaron Harper Jr., buddy. I want Matt and Jeff back. Go Pecco. Not going to get Jeff back, buddy.
Word up. Yeah, Jeff's probably gone. But good chance you got Matt LaFleur. And I'll say this about losing Hafley and everyone being upset about that possibility, which certainly I would love Jeff Hafley to come back. But don't forget, whatever happens, when and if it is somebody new, the potential is you've never heard of them or you weren't expecting them. Nobody had Jeff Hafley on their radar.
Nope.
When Jeff Hafley got hired. Let's just remember that.
But also, I think what's kind of exciting is the fact that we have Micah is very exciting for a lot of DCs.
It makes it pretty damn attractive. I'll tell you that. Brian Flores.
Also, I do love the whole Brian Flores thing. It's just so – it'd be so nice because
it's so enticing,
they always
dude.
Get our sloppy seconds. And
our
so
sloppy
just
seconds.
To take,
let's take their second and beat them with it. I'm all in on this idea. I love it.
Yeah, that would just annoy
and plus he's
Vikings
phenomenal
fans,
coach.
And it would be so much
it's
fun.
So good. I love it.
Cheeto. I don't want LaFleur fired at all. However, I feel like he was hired as a competent yet unfinished product. More importantly, he has the skills to grow and has grown. That's why he stays. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. I'm in agreement. And I know a lot of people will give you shit for that, but you are 100% in the right.
Mr. C photographs. While frustrated with how things have gone, I don't see any available coaches being better than Matt right now. The players want him, so just keep him.
That was the other thing. I will admit, I was kind of surprised, not at the players talking about Matt and wanting him back and talking, extolling his virtues, right? But I was a bit surprised at the reaction from fans that I saw online saying, well, wow, they really, like, really have his back. Like, that, I saw it happen in real time, Corey, over the course of 24 hours. Like, a Sunday, the sentiment was very different than on Monday. When the players started talking, that was interesting to me. I didn't expect that, but I guess I should have.
Ralph Renucci, pretty sad that they would treat the assistant coaching tree like a fish market if it's true, especially for a draft and develop team. I thought it's time we win championships, Packers organization.
There you go. That'll be the test this offseason, won't it?
Oh, Dan McDermott, all I want is for Matt LaFleur to start with the O-line instead of his skill players when game planning.
I love this idea. Unfortunately, I think he was trying to mitigate having to depend on his O-line for much of 2025.
Yeah. Heath Soder, I have no issue with paying Matt LaFleur $15 million plus a year, but there's no way this Eeyore will be able to deal with the screed that will come with that move. Even I have negativity limit.
Yeah, it's coming, brother. Don't you worry. That is 100% happening. I mean, the traded. Pushback. I don't know about the $15 million, but the pushback will absolutely happen.
Eclectic Brother 6441, welcome to the Carry the G Club.
Thank you for the support. Appreciate it.
Keith Peterson, what do we got on the spacecraft that's good? Micah.
Micah.
Jordan.
100%. Jordan Love, top five quarterback. Let's go.
Jordan Morgan's okay. Josh Jacobs, good. Yeah.
Jordan Morgan will be good left
Tucker
back.
Kraft no is doubt. Good.
Tucker Kraft
Matthew
is great.
Golden. Yep.
Matthew Golden has a lot of promise, no doubt.
Edger and Cooper.
Come on.
Keith Peterson. Javon Bullard. Javon Bullard is the number one love person Javon on defense Bullard. You dude, have to I keep,
love,
by the way.
Dude, I love Javon Bullard.
Javon Bullard had a season, and I love the way he is.
Yeah, he did.
Keith Peterson. Oh, yeah, I just did that. Hi. Josh Reinders, thanks again for an awesome happy hour last night. And when you say Cheesehead TV is devoted to Green Bay Packer fans, that isn't doing it justice. RCS and I both mentioned how much y'all affect our fandom for the better, and I know that opinion is shared by many, many more. Thank you, Josh.
Really appreciate it. Thanks, Josh.
Appreciate
it. Really, and thank you for this very generous super chat. Thanks, man.
I will happily be called a dweeb by Chicago Bears fans and have crash videos. Amy Gooding, silver lining. We won't have to hear about 27 all next season.
You know, why'd you have to put that in my head? Thanks, Amy.
Reliable. Also, Josh, thank you for the huge super chat, by the way. I didn't really recognize that, so thank you. The night... reliable random. The night is darkest before the dawn. This team with Matt LaFleur will win a Super Bowl. They are talented enough. Learn from it and stay healthy. Thanks for everything you guys do. Go Pack, go forever.
I do think the health part is a major contribution to whatever they're going to do next year because, man, you can't look at this season and not at least acknowledge how many frontline top of the roster guys they lost due to injury.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. They scored in position to win that game, but it's
anybody who says, anyone in the world who says that a coach who's never won a Super Bowl can never win a Super Bowl, which I saw a lot of that flying around.
Oh, we've got it in the chat today. Yeah.
100%. Has never watched the NFL.
No,
like,
I agree.
I remember in 2010, everybody being, I was like one of the.
Mike McCarthy will never win a Super Bowl. And then he won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Yep. No, I'm with you.
Oh, just Eric Campbell, been watching for years. Greg Bedard alarm, Aunt Gert interviews, Railbird Central with Brian. Thanks for all the content over the years. Go Pet Go.
Wow, Railbird.
Thank you,
that's
Eric.
That's a callback. Right
Railbird.
There. Thank you so much. That's when, thanks for sticking with
you
us.
You know, me and Brian went without Aaron. That the year that Favre went to the Vikings,
yep.
Aaron
yep.
wasn't even on the site. It was me and Brian live. I remember being live on the live blog. That was fun.
Wow, what a day, what a time.
Yeah, Jerry Mannion, love MVP season incoming.
Yes,
I feel that
the way he performed this year. I hope people understand how good Jordan Love was this year. He was really fucking good.
Top five quarterback.
Like the whole Malik Willis thing gets like, you know, thrown around or whatever. But like Jordan Love was really fucking good this year. And it feels like no one is really acknowledging that.
Braden Loya, we don't have a first round the next 2 years and a Malik Willis. Let's make a deal. Also Barry Zero in the bottom of the Fox River. Golden in number two, please.
Okay. There's a lot going on there. I'm not too worried about not having first round picks. I'm really not. I mean, the amount of talent they get back just off of injury, I'm not too concerned about it, mostly because also it's a 2-year window. Like the whole thing is set up around Micah's contract, which is 3 years and then we'll see. Well, we just went through year one, which he's now obviously ended on injured reserve, etc. He comes back. They got 2 years to win a title with Micah in the building. You know, that's the time frame. So,
yeah.
No first
well,
round
and
picks.
Also,
I'll take Micah Parsons.
You don't need first round picks to get offensive linemen that are good. By the
no,
way.
As the Packers have proven again and again and again.
I just really want us to solidify our center and our offensive line before the start of the
yes.
season for one time in my life.
I would suspect, Corey, that they will draft a center. I will be very surprised if they don't. And I do think Jacob Monk will be in the mix, but I suspect you're going to see a center drafted on day two or even day three. That will be in the mix for the starting position.
Jerry Mannion, as a criminal defense attorney, my clients are often those that call others dweebs or dorks, so take that for what it is, LOL.
Wow. Yeah, Corey,
Danny.
Take it for what it is.
Oh, I always take shit for what it is. Honestly, it's so funny how people say I don't like Aaron Rodgers, but I think his number one advice I think about every day, I think about the man every day, which is, you know, don't take advice or comments, or don't take comments from people you wouldn't take advice from. Danny, which isn't from him. He even acknowledges that, by the way, but I think of him when I think of that. Danny, sorry, I'm still in the move on from Matt LaFleur camp. Also, Corey's play caller is missing the turd in the recipe. Cheers, Lieutenant Dan.
Get it?
Oh, Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant
you're so funny.
Dan, you were on last night, and like your hand was up, and you were there, and you were moving around. I saw your video all throughout the evening, and then you
left. He did
a
chat saying he had to leave. Yeah, he did it. I saw his chat saying he had to leave.
Dan, come on, brother. I expect better from you next week.
We got Eric from the Prairie, a member of the Kerry G Club for 25 months. I'm still shattered by the fact that Bo Melton got more snaps than Matthew Golden this year.
I'm right there with you, brother. Like, I knew they would bring Golden along slowly, but I'm with you, brother. Couldn't agree more. Especially when we watched what Golden did in that fucking game.
Howdy, boys. Eeyore number two here. I'm more calm now, LOL. It didn't really matter at the end of the day, but that Hail Mary at the end of the game Saturday was the worst-looking Hail Mary, barely an end zone.
It wasn't a Hail Mary, but other than that, sure.
Uncultured Barbarian, Leonard
okay,
as
to be clear,
DC.
To be clear, thoughts? Wait. To be clear, just so you know, you mean the final play, right, where the snap is fumbled because you have Lucetus Smith, literally the fourth string center in there, and the play call is to get out on the perimeter to the sideline because they're trying to like just get a little bit more and get a little closer and take time off the clock, but leave one play left. And then that's fucked up because of the snap. And then Jordan just has to buy time against legit, what, 8-man in coverage? Like, that's not a Hail Mary. Not even close. Like, not even
Uncultured.
Close.
Leonard as DC. Thoughts? Get the fuck out of here. We don't negotiate
with terrorists.
We
talked about this on the radio. Like, I was waiting for someone
to
bring this up.
We don't negotiate with terrorists. Also, what has he done to justify a DC position?
He's been a Badger, Corey. And he was Mike Pettine's man on the field for years. Oh, also, by the way, speaking
of well have the Badgers been doing, by the way?
But it was fun. They were doing much better when Leonard was there. But shout out to Mike Pettine, former Packers defensive coordinator, who is retiring. Sucks that, you know, his defense gave up the score at the end of the first half that we were talking about earlier to keep the Packers away from the Super Bowl. I hate it, but loved Mike. He was also a great guy and I thought a really good coach. So shout out Mike Pettine in retirement. Hope you enjoy.
I'm holding my tongue. Mike Witt, why for the last 20 to 25 years have we always had a hard time covering tight ends? Is it a philosophy thing? Just curious.
Not so much a philosophy thing. I think tight ends, especially in the modern game, you know, the way they are able to be utilized as pass catchers down the field, especially in the middle of the field where most defenses are susceptible and or softer, zone, man, whatever, it has certainly been an issue. But I think a lot of teams share that issue. It's not a Packers-centric thing, but we are Packers fans, so that's mostly what we focus on. But I think a lot of teams have had similar issues trying to keep them under wraps.
Yeah. Michael McMicken. I wonder if that one guy with the McManus jersey enjoyed the game. Corey was right about him. We'll find him. We need to find him. Maybe I'll go back to Fox Harbor.
We cannot go. Like, we went all this time without ever finding the toilet bowl guy. We got to find the McManus jersey guy. Like, we cannot fail.
He'll deny it. He'll be like, wasn't me. The funny thing is, if you look at that picture, it literally looks like every guy I've ever met in Wisconsin. So, yeah.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Like, every dude. Every dude. Yes, correct.
Like every dude between the age of 50 and 70, yes. Mark Peterson, Corey, please go over all of the horrid playoff losses the Packers have suffered since Terrell Owens' catch 1998.
Why? Why?
Why would I do that?
Why
to
does
myself?
Anyone do that? No, absolutely not.
I don't like it. Neil
I'll
Flynn.
Hang up if you do that.
Why can't the sacrificial lamb be stadium ale? Bring in Kerry the G. I like the way you
Let's go. There it is. Now you're talking sense.
Neil.
Let's go, Neil.
I am willing to bet that the Packers' lack of success this season was bringing stadium ales. Bringing stadium ale into their stadium just ruined it.
What is it called? What is it called again? It's not called
garbage
stadium.
In, garbage oh, yeah. out. Garbage in, garbage out. That's what they say.
Legacy ale. That's it.
Yeah, it's trash.
That's it. We got to make sure that it's banned from Lambeau. That's it.
Mike Witt, number 25 and number 52 better not be on this team, especially 52. He was disgustingly bad the last 2 months, and 25 is too big for his level of play on the field.
Word.
Not against that. Jerry Mannion, I think we can bring in camp kicking competition.
I think they will. I'll be surprised if they don't. Oh, yeah. I mean, if for no other reason that you're going, you got to at least have a camp leg, you know, because you're not going to have one guy kicking everything. But I will say Ryan Longwell was mostly a camp leg, and then he won the job, so it's possible. We'll see.
I just wonder, do they have the right go back to the coaching staff? Does it, you know, not to like excuse McManus, but like, is he getting coaching, or is he just put on an island?
Yes, he's getting coaching. Now, the level of that coaching, who knows?
Yeah.
But also, Mike Witt, kick the fucking ball and put it through the uprights. Like, you know, how much coaching can you really do? Especially at that point. Like, you've been kicking your whole life. Like, fucking kick the ball. Get it through the uprights.
Mike Witt, if I was the Packers, I'd be putting 21-3 all over that locker room for motivation all offseason. And Nags, the substitute teacher, is our kicker week one, in my opinion.
Oh, I'd be shocked. But maybe. We'll see. All I know is he wasn't very good when he got that second chance in New York, and he apparently, from what I've been told, was missing all sorts of kicks in practice. So I'll be surprised. We'll see, though.
Mike Witt, and I hope Matt is calling Sean McVay this week, giving him advice for how to attack the Bears' defense. Puka and Devontae versus Bears secondary. Good luck. I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think Sean McVay needs much advice. But No. Yeah, every little bit helps.
Jerry Mannion, we should make a bear trap hat.
Bear trap? The trap is we let you win a playoff game and then we're going to get you. Is that the trap? I don't really see the correlation here. But
Marty, maybe next year if Marty Kaufman, keep Matt LaFleur and invest in the staff for him. I think that's what they're trying to do.
I like the sentiment.
I don't know about the second part. The Mike Witt, why do you think Ben Johnson has made it so personal with Matt LaFleur? It's just weird. That owner's meeting with the coaches this offseason is going to be very interesting, LOL.
I can't wait to see that shot, that picture that they have every summer, right, where they have all 32 head coaches. Where is Matt and where is Ben? That's going to be great.
Jerry, Corey, how is the carrot soda? It's very good. You know what's also good is making a ginger bug, too. So you can make a carrot bug or a ginger bug to make soda. It's really nice. It's really nice. Mm, very nice. Good. Actually, I got some carrot. You know what's interesting about carrots?
This is very nice.
I have some carrots right now that I could pull and eat. That's what's amazing about nature's refrigerator. I never knew this, but you can actually grow, you can grow root vegetables, and in Wisconsin, you can grow them now. They were growing in the fall, and then you just leave them, and the snow's on them, and you can pull them at any time, and then you can eat them. And they get more sweet as you get cold weather, which is another thing. So, a lot of people don't like parsnips. They think parsnips are kind of bitter. If you just wait until, winter happens, yeah, they're really nice. Heath Soder, reminder, inertia is a terrible thing to fight. Yeah, welcome to my life. Jerry Mannion.
Well, wait a second. In relation to what? Football franchises? Inertia from year to year? Come on now.
Jerry Mannion, Bears fans celebrate with drinking Malort. Yeah, Malort is trash.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Not a fan of the Bears or Malort, no doubt.
Malort is trash. Josh Reinder.
I do somewhat miss Chicago. I love Chicago, the city.
I love Chicago.
City is awesome.
100%. Josh Reinders. Bears fans are acting exactly how Detroit fans behaved after their first great season. The NFL is a very fickle business, so maybe pump the brakes.
I mean, this is the best part, right? They are on cloud nine right now, which they should be. I'm not dismissing it. I'm not saying they shouldn't. 100% own it, love it, lean into it. Really well done, guys. But the Washington Commanders say hello. You know, they were riding high last year, and then they came into this season, and it all fucking fell apart. I'm not saying that's automatically going to happen, but it certainly could. That's why the Packers don't care that Ben Johnson's obsessed with Matt LaFleur. The Packers don't care that the Bears hate the Packers. That's fine. You do you. But the Packers are a proven franchise that has sustained success for 30-plus years. The Bears have two decades of futility and then one successful season. Now the tough stuff begins. How do you sustain success? The Bears certainly don't fucking know.
Nope.
They're going to try. Good luck.
Mike Witt, love Halfley, but thought of Flores coaching up Micah next year has me very excited. Yeah. Ralph Renucci, sign Mike Wall or promote James Campen to O-line.
No, James Campen, God love Campy, but the whole reason Steno got hired in the first place is because Campy came from a different generation of play and design and scheme. This is the thing. No, Campy is a name. This is the same as people talking about, and I've seen this, Corey, again, not a straw man. I've seen this multiple times. People talking about, we should talk to Mike McCarthy. People. Things move on.
Yeah.
No, Campen, God bless him. He did great work back in the day. The game has moved on.
You know who needs Mike McCarthy? Cheesehead TV. Okay.
You would.
Hayes Fugger. Can't spell McManus without anus. Go Pekka. True story. Rob B, why in the world would the team start over? It doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, it makes sense to you. Anybody who follows the Green Bay Packers, it makes zero sense to
me. I very much agree.
Mike Witt, we may disagree on a lot of things, guys, but I always respect you two. Thanks for everything this season and already looking forward to draft night coverage. Have a great offseason, everybody.
Thanks, Mike. I know we do have our differences, but certainly – we really appreciate your passion and the fact that you're a Packers fan and that you are here each and every day. We really appreciate you, man.
Yes, thank you. I'm actually going to spend my Packer transplants off season by adding a workout day. So I'm excited about that. Instead of 3 days a week, I'm doing four, baby.
Four days a week?
I'm going to be swole.
You're gonna be so buff.
I'm going to be swole.
I'm going to add a drinking.
I'm going to be. I'm going to be so buff. You're going to think that I'm the assistant offensive quality control coach.
You're going to be the new. Is that the new strength coach? No, that's Corey Mankey. That's GZDB's coach.
Is that the new kickers coach? No, that's the water boy.
You can't wait. Can't wait.
Josh Reinders, every single Super Bowl winning coach in history at one point was a coach who had never won a Super Bowl before and probably had the same narrative around them.
Probably.
Ding, ding, ding. Stop making
Andy Reid comes to mind.
Ralph Renucci, is Flores as DC realistic for us? Probably not.
Probably not, but like, what? I don't want to live there right now. Like, it's a possibility right now, so I'm living there in the possibility.
Scott Dockendorf, 520 here and only 133 likes. Like that bid. Thank you both for all you do for us. My only source for Packers news for 10 plus years.
Wow. Wow. Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott.
Corey, Scott points it out. What's so funny is when I go watch any other Packers content, I'm talking about anywhere, right? YouTube, podcasts, fucking social media, anything. The first thing they say is like, oh, hey, make sure you hit that like button. You need to subscribe. We never do that. We just never do it.
Yeah.
We got to get much better at that. Like Matt LaFleur learning things from this season, we need to learn to tell people to hit like and subscribe. It has to happen.
Like and subscribe. Josh Reinders, Nags, the Bears certainly don't fucking know. Talking about sustaining success made me LMAO.
It's true. I mean,
LMAO.
Facts only, right? I'm not telling tales out of school here.
That's what we got.
That's what we got? All right.
Yeah.
Love it.
Thanks, everybody.
Love it.
Happy off season.
Thank you, everybody. Shout out to our Patreon members. You've heard us talk a lot about the Patreon happy hour. It occurred last night. Good therapy for all involved, I think. Really appreciate the support from all of our Patreon members. You guys are really the lifeblood of everything we do here at GZTV, along with Carry the G Club members here on YouTube. Thank you so much. We greatly appreciate it. Corey, what else you got before we head out to the offseason?
Sean Gallagher with the last minute Euro. Thanks for everything. Go Pack Go. That's a great
Thank
note
you,
to
Sean.
End it on. Thank you, Sean. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And, you know, Aaron will be here for Packers Daily. We ain't going anywhere. It's 365
ain't going nowhere.
Around here.
We do it, baby. I'll be at the Super Bowl. I'll be at the Combine. We got tons of stuff heading into the draft and the draft itself. Stick around. Tons of content coming your way this offseason. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.